Very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 3rd June 2025, Tuesday class. So we will be continuing our sharing from this book, The Wonderful Lotus Flower Dhamma Sutta, Miao Fa Lian Hua Jing. So we will, as usual, gather and have our physical puja. Namo Bhun Si Si Jia Moni Fo. Namo Bhun Si Si Jia Moni Fo. Namo Bhun Si Si Jia Moni Fo. Namo Guan Si Yin Pu Sa. Namo Guan Si Yin Pu Sa. Namo Guan Si Yin Pu Sa. Namo A Mi Tho Fo. Namo A Mi Tho Fo. Namo A Mi Tho Fo.那么弥勒佛，那么弥勒佛，那么弥勒佛，那么药师佛，那么药师佛，那么药师佛，那么普贤菩萨，那么普贤菩萨，那么普贤菩萨，那么地藏王菩萨，那么地藏王菩萨。那么地藏王菩萨，那么佛菩萨，那么佛菩萨，那么佛菩萨，阿拉亨萨玛萨布多巴嘎瓦，布当巴嘎万当阿比瓦迪米。Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghang Namami Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama SambuddhasaBuddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami.Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami Panatipata Viramani Sikkhapada Samadhiyami AdinadanaMani Sikkha Padang Samadhiyami Kame Sumichachara Ramani Sikkha Padang Samadhiyami Musawada Viramani Sikkha Padang Samadhiyami Surameraya MajapamadatanaVeramani Sikkha Padang Samadhiyami Ganna Sarappa Dithena Dipena Tamadangsina Diloka Dipang Sambuddhang Pujayami Tamonudang Ganda Sambara Yutena Dupena Hang SuganghinaPujaye Pujaniyantang Puja Bhajana Muttamang Vanna-gandha-guno-petang etang-kasuma-santatin pujayami-munindasa siri-pada-sarorohe pujemi-betang-kasumena-nena punena-matena-ca-hotu-mukang Pupang milayati yata idang me kayo tata yati vinasa bawang adivase tuno bante paniyang parika pitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutemang Adivase tuno bante pali parika pitang anukampang upadaya tumutamang Adivase tuno bante bojanang parika pitang anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang. Now we shall chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently ride on to faithfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers. Then finally, sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May this merit be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let's pay respect, Tripa Jam. Bedang puji damang puji mi sanghang puji mi. So make full use of this half an hour to stabilize your inner awareness. Then use it to develop the meditative understanding. Always remember the four support. Relax body and mind, first support. Then after that, just maintain awareness. Just that mind that is aware. Whatever arises, aware. That's it. No need to do anything. because we are a conscious human being with the senses. So whatever arises must be from this senses. And this senses is the one that can give rise to the corresponding six types of sense door consciousness. So whenever that consciousness arises, it can be seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile or thought. You just develop the inner awareness of it. Finish. Don't try to know, don't try to do anything. Don't try to continue with whatever thought, movement or activity. Just aware. Finish. Aware, silent. Aware, silent. So that is the second support. The third support is to stabilize that second support. Means continue to relax body and mind, then maintain the inner awareness. Whatever arises within our six senses or the five aggregates of form and mind, develop the inner awareness to be aware, finish. Aware, finish. Through this, you will start to develop the deconditioning of your heedless thinking or your mundane thinking. Then your awareness nature within will slow down, slow down, and suddenly become very quiet, very still. So the third support is to stabilize the inner awareness so that you can realize your true mind. So that you know you have two minds. One is the conditioned arising thinking mind, the mundane mind that manifests from the pure awareness nature through our sense door consciousness. Every time when there is a sense data together with our consciousness making contact with the respective sense bases, it will trigger off that particular sense door consciousness. Then when it arises, maintain awareness to understand what is going on. Then you will understand the words of the Buddha. Why the Buddha say, in the hearing, there is only the hearing consciousness, no one to hear. In the arising of that consciousness, there is only that conscious awareness before the knowing, before the perception. Even you are able to stay silent within, to witness all this, then you will start to understand why all this arises and passes away and how you function as a human being. And when you understand how you function as a human being, you will start to understand who are you, what are you, and why the Buddha explain the five aggregates of form and mind. They have the universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, anatta. Therefore, they are not real, not what you think. The five aggregates of form and mind, they exhibit those universal characteristics. And because of that, they are empty, not what you think. So empty nature or existence, whatever arises, they are not what you think. We are all these are dependent originating phenomena, condition arising phenomena, no reality. It's not a permanent unchanging entity. You cannot own it, you cannot possess it, and you cannot want to have it. So see it clearly. Awaken to it, then you will start to clearly understand who are you, what are you, and without thought, who are you? Without thought, there is no mundane thinking, no mundane mind. And the true mind without thought got no words, no concept, nothing. It's just a pure nature, pure awareness nature that is aware without words. So stay with that. Then see, observe silently how activity of my thought process arise from there to create the mundane thinking, mundane emotion, mundane views and opinion. So all this is awareness-based meditation. Okay, now I'll let you meditate on your own. Okay, slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. These are the meditative mind state that are very conducive for stabilizing your daily mindfulness. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chakavalisu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammang Munirajasa Sunantu Sakamokkadam Dhamma Svanankalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Svanankalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Svanankalo Ayang Badanta Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Iti peso bhagava arahang sama buddho vijja charana sampanno sugato lokabhido anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati satta vedamusanang Uddo Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sandhittiko Akaliko Ehipaseko Opanayiko Pajatang Veditabbo Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Ujjupatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Samichipatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Yadidam Chatari Purisa Yukani Atta Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Sakkasangho Ahuniyo Pahuniyo Dakiniyo Anjali karaniyo anutarong punyang ketang lokasati sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, Now you can just relax body and mind, maintain some more awareness. Then we continue from where we stopped. The Tathagata uses this skillful means to persuade and lead all living beings. So the commentary's explanation. It means that Tathagata uses this experience, the Dhammadho of the three vehicles, to entice living beings. You might even say he tricked them. Do you know what Sakyamuni Buddha is doing? He is deceiving us. However, it's not a mean trick or trick. It is a white lie to persuade us to end birth and death. If he does not lead us in this way, we would not know how to end birth and death. How do we know that the Buddha tricks living beings? The Buddha compares himself to a great elder. Seeing his children in the burning house, the elder say, "Hurry, come out. I have sheep cart, deer cart, and ox cart for you right outside the house." In reality, there were no sheep cart, deer cart, and ox cart. Then was the elder lying? Children like to play with carts. When they hear about them, they run out of the house. After they leave the house, Sakyamuni Buddha thinks, "Well, since I coaxed them out of the house with the promise of those carts, and I have so much wealth, I ought to give them each a great cart." He then gave them great carts, keeping his words. In the beginning, he uses expedience way to coax living being out of the burning house. After they escape, the Buddha gives them the great Vahika Dhamma. He unfolds the provisional to reveal the ultimate and teaches them the ultimate wonderful Dhamma. In this context, persuade and lead means to coax and tempt. This is like the time the Buddha saved a child with his empty fist. The child, unaware of the danger, went crawling towards a well and was about to fall inside. The Buddha used an expedient method, saying, "Little child, come back. I have a piece of candy here in my hand. Come over here and I will give it to you." The kid loves candy, and so the child scrambled back. Did the Buddha have a piece of candy in his hand? No. He saved the child with his empty fist. Although he didn't have candy in his hand, he could have gotten a piece of candy for the child so that he wouldn't be tricking him. The Buddha was persuading and leading the child. To persuade and lead here means to use expedient way, catering to living beings' wishes based on the situation. Living beings can be opportunistic and play up to each other too. But the Buddha uses such means in order to teach and guide them. Don't forget that we are all living beings too. I don't want to be tricked by Sakyamuni Buddha, you think. Then keep on being a living being for a while. If you feel you haven't been long enough, then continue to be. If you don't want to be a living being, if you think, "Now I want to understand the Buddha Dhamma and become a Buddha," then you will have to let Sakyamuni Buddha trick you. You can't avoid it. This one is commentary by Master Xuanhua, his way of explaining the sutta. Yeah. But more important is we have the understanding of what this teaching is. Because initially, living beings are heedless, deluded, and they can't understand what is going on. That's why you have to let them follow their own karma to go to life, to experience the reality of life and existence, which is suffering. Not until living beings get entangled with enough suffering or misery, they will not search for answer to free their mind, to liberate from suffering. So the initial search is usually not easy. And most living beings, they just want answers or shortcut, or what we call quick solution. So whenever they can find somebody who can help them overcome their suffering, they become complacent again, and they go back to their old way. They never see the danger of going through existence with such delusion and ignorance. So the purpose of enlightened beings is to come out with understanding, to bring forth the causes and conditions for living beings to turn the Dhamma away, for them to see clearly that there is just one way, the Dhamma way. If you don't go the Dhamma way, you cannot learn the Dhamma. That's why taking refuge is very important. So that aspect of explanation is more relevant and more important. And all the initial skillful means or expedient way are just to introduce the initial teaching, which are the sainthood way teaching. At least that itself is enough understanding to initially bring forth the solution. Means bring forth the wisdom, the initial wisdom, to enable deluded living being to free their mind, to liberate their mind, and to realize Nibbana, the initial glimpse, the cessation of form and mind, to realize the possibility of ending birth and death, of realizing the enlightenment in the here and the now, leading to the end of all suffering, leading to the cessation of all dukkha. So this initial understanding is very important. We call this the initial teaching, the provisional teachings. And through this, they can be assured that they will not have to come back again. Maximum 7 life, even if you can successfully develop the cultivation to realize anagami. Oh, sorry, not anagami. Sotapanaship, the first stage of sainthood. Then after that, maximum 7 more life or 7 more rebirth within the sanctuary. Yeah. Then if you are able to realize the second stage of sainthood, which is to realize Sakadagamiship, then you would have only 1 more life to come back to the sanctuary. That's why they call the Sakadagami a once returner. You only return once. Then after that, you are destined to become at least an Arahant, if not realize Arahantaship straight away. Then those who realize Anagami, they will not come back to the sanctuary. They are called the non-returner. They won't come back to the sensual world. They take birth in the pure abode within the form world. That's why they are called anagamis. Then from there, they realize Arahantaship and liberate from the birth and death. They don't have to come back to existence unless they know the Bodhisattva way. They take the supreme vehicle teaching and go that way. Then they can still come back, but not via avijja. Via the bohi mind, the enlightened, free mind that is born of love and compassion. So, using that, it will be clearer, easier to comprehend instead of following the commentaries of Xuanhua. That word, when he say the Buddha trick, actually it's just a play of word. Why should the Buddha trick living beings? Living beings are just the way they are, isn't it? Condition like that, things feel like that. If you take care of karma, karma take care of life. If you have the affinity, then you will come into contact with the Buddha Dhamma. Then you will have affinity with the Triple Gem. But if you don't cultivate them, then you will have to roam in samsara for a longer period. So thing is just the way it is. Condition like that, things be like that. So the provisional teachings also need causes and conditions to receive them. You must have some form of affinity with the Triple Gem. You must have some form of good roots to come across the Dhamma. So all this, when you have the understanding, then you will know why the provisional teaching, the initial teaching, or sometimes it's called expedient way, or expedient methods or technique to lure or entice living beings to be interested in the cultivation, to go the Dhamma way, so that they can pick up the understanding to finally continue with the supreme vehicle cultivation, which is following the Bodhisattva way. After the sainthood way, you would have matured over to the Paccheka Buddha's vehicle. Then from there, if you have the affinity, you will go the Bodhisattva vehicle, which will lead to supreme vehicle, Sammasambuddhahood, in the here and the now. Okay, now we continue our next section of the sutta, correlating the hortative turning. It's the third turning. The sutta say, he further say, you should all know that the Dhamma of the three vehicles are praised by the sages. Sages are the enlightened beings. That's why the English word is sage. For they will make you free, unbound, self-reliance, and content. Then riding upon the three vehicles, look at the notes. Note 23 down there. Okay. So self-reliance and content. How to read the Mandarin word? What? Wuso yiqiu. Oh. The meaning is self-reliance and contented. With nothing, they rely upon or seek. That one must be a Sanskrit word, isn't it? Apadang. Sanskrit word, yeah. Literally means not pitiable, miserable, poor, weak, feeble, low, or miserly. Miserable means stingy. Okay, go back. Riding upon these three vehicles, one will find joy and pleasure in qualities free of outflow. Now this one is very important. Free or outflow means the mundane mind collapses, including the roots and powers, the factors of awakening, the path, the dhyans, means samadhi, the liberation, the samadhis and the like. One will then gain limited, oh sorry, one will then gain limitless peace, tranquility, and joy. So this is the sutta section. We go to the commentary. So the commentary explains. He further says, you should all know that the Dhamma of the three vehicles are praised by the sages. So the commentary explained, all of you living beings should realize that the Dhamma of the three vehicles means the sound hearer, the Paccheka Buddha vehicle, and the Bodhisattva vehicle. They are all praised by the Buddhas of the past, present, and future. All the Buddhas of the Ten Directions and the Three Periods of Time have used the Dhammada or the Three Vehicles as expedients to inspire and guide living beings. These teachings are praised and lauded by all Buddhas who say things like, these are the most wonderful Dhammas. They are rare and difficult to encounter. The three vehicles are praised by sages, for they will make you free, unbound, self-reliant, and contented. What does it mean to be free? When you realize your inner wisdom, you will be free and at ease. Before you realize your inner wisdom, you are not free. What is inner wisdom? Inner wisdom is the wisdom of knowing the mind of others, which allow one to understand the thoughts of all living beings. Being bound, you are as if tied up by ropes, unable to get free. Once you gain your freedom, you will face no impediments, and you will have left distorted dreams far behind. This is to be unbound. It means you have realized supreme wisdom and are able to let go of everything. What is meant by self-reliance and content? It means that one depends on nothing and seeks nothing. What does self-reliance mean? When this life comes to an end, one takes no further rebirth. Having end, birth and death, one does not undergo future rebirth. That one takes no further rebirth. To end birth and death is to be self-reliance. Here we speak of two aspects. That which relies and that which is relied upon. That which relies refers to the inherent nature. That which is relied upon or relied. Oh, I read again. That which is relied up on is the cycle of birth and death. When there is no further birth and death, there is nothing that can be relied upon because the object of reliance is gone. What does it mean to be content? When there is nothing to pursue, then one has completed one's task and cultivated pure conduct to perfection. Once pure cultivation has been accomplished, having reached one's goal, one is content with nothing left to seek. Having arrived at this point or state of self-reliance and contentment, one is about to realize Sammasambuddhahood or sagehood and put an end to birth and death. So that is the commentary part. So we go to the next part of the sutta. Riding upon these three vehicles, one will find joy and pleasure in qualities free of outflow, including the roots of power, including the roots and powers, factors of awakening, the path, the dhyan, the liberation, the samadhi, and the like. Commentary. These correspond to the five roots, the five spiritual powers, the seven factors of enlightenment, the eight noble fold path, the noble eightfold path, the four samadhi or dhyan, the eight kinds of liberation, the three types of samadhi, and so on. Through these three vehicles, one attains the root and powers that are free of outflow. The five roots are the spiritual faculty of Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya. The first root is Saddha, or faith in the Buddha and his teaching. You must have faith. Without it, you won't attain benefits in your study of Buddhism. Because it's a spiritual faculty, it can let you understand spiritual things. That's why faith, Saddha, is very important. Faith in the Buddha, in his teaching, through knowing who the Buddha is, how unique a being he is. He is not only enlightened, he is fully enlightened. And also faith in his teaching, through understanding how unique and beautiful that teaching is. It can lead to wisdom, awakening, liberation from birth and death. It can lead to enlightenment in the here and the now. That's why faith is very important. And when you have faith in the Buddha and his teaching, you also establish affinity with the Buddha Dhamma. And when you establish affinity, you can progress along the path of Dhamma, then you will have all the causes and conditions to cultivate, to progress, and to really transform. Okay, then we read on. The second spiritual faculty is virya, or in English translated as vigor, spiritual tenacity to go that way. Or spiritual zeal, Z-E-A-L. You must study with vigor. Do not be lazy. If you have left the home life, you should not be lazy and not attend Dhamma assembly or Dhamma classes. If you do not even attend Dhamma assembly, then what's the point of living the home life? Don't follow your inclination and think, if I want to relax, I can take it easy. That's not okay. You must exert yourself. Actually, virya can be explained in a better way. When your faith develops, it will drive you to cultivate. That's how that virya manifests. And it's a spiritual tenacity or spiritual zeal, a driving force that drives the cultivator to go this way, because they see the urgency, the importance of going this way. You cannot afford to be complacent, and you cannot take it lightly, because this is a matter of birth and death, or your future life, understanding, and wisdom depend on this. So that virya, born of this type of understanding, is very different. It will drive you. It's not an effort where you really make effort. No. It's a spiritual tenacity to go this way based on that understanding. Okay, go back to the notes. Then the third spiritual faculty is mindfulness or sati. You must be mindful in thought after thought. You also need the last two roots, or the last two spiritual faculty. Here they put it wrongly, concentration and wisdom. It should be samadhi and panya, or wisdom. Samadhi is not really a one-pointedness focusing or concentration. Samadhi is a free mind that is collected and unwavering, stable. That is samadhi. Why are these five spiritual faculties called roots? These roots can grow and produce good roots. That's why they call it roots. From these five roots, the five powers can be developed. Actually, when you stabilize the five spiritual faculty until it becomes unshakable, then it becomes balas, or spiritual powers. We have this spiritual faculty that can enable cultivator the way to understand spiritual teaching are very powerful. So when you develop them, it can help you penetrate the teaching. And it will help you develop the ability to receive spiritual teachings. So here they elaborate on it again. From these five roots, the five spiritual powers are developed. The spiritual power of Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya. So they use root because they say roots have the ability to grow and produce. The five roots mature and eventually transform into the five powers. Then the factors of awakening refer to the seven factors of awakening, or what we call in the Pali tradition or the Theravada tradition, the seven factors of enlightenment, Satta Bhujanga. When you have this mind state, it will lead you to enlightenment. That's why they are called factors of enlightenment. That's why you must develop them. The English translation, they are not so accurate for Xianhua side, especially when it comes to number 5 and number 6. Okay, first, in Pali, the first factor of enlightenment is called Dhamma Vichaya, or investigation of Dhamma. You must have this, what they call spiritual faculty or mind state, to investigate Dhamma, constantly contemplate, reflect, and inquire to investigate into the Buddha Dhamma, or what we call the Four Noble Truths and its three turning, the proclamation of the Dhamma, the cause of its arising, the cessation, and the path that lead to the cessation. So Dhamma investigation is very important. But you need sati to investigate the Dhamma. Without sati, you cannot investigate the Dhamma. You cannot reflect, contemplate, and silence your mind to investigate. Means silently observe without thought. The silent inner awareness that see things as they are, observing the truth, the reality, the movement, the manifestation, without the interference from our knowledge, from our views, opinion, conditioning, and belief system, which is basically the thought process. That's why you must be in a state of sati, pure awareness, before the knowing, so that you can see things as they are and develop the understanding of who you are, what you are, and how you stir your mind, and how you react to sense experience through your wrong view, your sakkaya ditthi, self-delusion, and how you get yourself entangled, how you create all the wrong thought that condition your negativity of mind state, that cause your suffering and misery. So Dhamma investigation is to have the silent mind, the pure awareness nature, to observe, silent observation of what is, then to silently insight into phenomena, to awaken to the three universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, and anatta. Yeah. Then, of course, finally, is to see things as they are, to realize the wisdom and awaken. So, here, the order they put is wrong. Mindfulness should be the number one, according to Theravada tradition, Satipatthana Sutta. Theravada tradition, yeah? The Sattabhujanga, the seven factor. The first one is Sati. That's why he put here as number seven. Wrong. The order is wrong. First one should be Sati. Without Sati, you cannot investigate the number. Without Sati, you cannot be heedful. Without Sati, you cannot be mindful. You cannot be ever mindful, constantly meditative. That's why you cannot develop heedfulness. If you cannot be heedful, you are as if dead. The heedless are as if dead. That's why heedfulness, starting from sati, is very important. So the first factor of enlightenment should be sati, followed by dhamma investigation. So once you have sati, you have the mindfulness, and then when you can investigate into dhamma, you can investigate into Dhammapada verse 1 and 2, the twin verse, to check whether the Buddha has spoken the truth or not. Why did the Buddha say our mind, the mundane mind, is the forerunner of all things, and mind is chief? When mind arises, all things arise. And because of that, he said, if you are not serious about life, you will act, speak, and think with a heedless mind that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Then suffering will follow you, like the wheel that follow the hoof of the oxen. So this one is Dhammapada verse 1. Means suffering will follow you when you are not heedful, when you are not mindful. Yeah. Then the opposite is also Dhammapada verse 2, is the verse on happiness that follows you, like the shadow that never leaves you. That one you can investigate. Here the Buddha say, when you know mind is a foreigner of all things, mind is chief. When mind arises, all things arise. So you have to take care of mind, where your entire life depend on mind. Then you train your mind to be heedful, to be mindful, to be aware. Then you develop the Dhamma understanding of what constitutes evil. Then from there, you will constantly train yourself to act, speak, and think with a wholesome mind that is free of the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. And then, happiness will follow you, like your shadow that will never leave you. So this is how you can investigate into it. Then the spiritual faculty and the mental hindrance, you can also investigate into it. Then the three evil roots, the five precepts. Why the Buddha say you must keep the precept? You can check, you can investigate. That's how I can share and teach you all why you must keep the precept. It's out of love and compassion for living beings that the Buddha actually advised living beings to keep your minimum five precepts. Because those who break their precept commit major evils. You can investigate, you can check on it. Who kill and harm? The first precept. Only deluded people, foolish people, heedless people, angry people, violent people, selfish people. All this, they have the tendency to break the precept. That's why all these other people who have the three evils of greed, hatred, and delusion. That's why when you break the precept, you commit major evils. Okay, now we go back to the seven factors. I have to rush it a bit. Okay, after you have developed the Dhamma investigation, then you realize that all this essential Dhamma, one by one, they stand up to investigation. Then from there, your faith becomes very strong. When your faith becomes very strong, Saddha, it will drive you to cultivate. That's why when you have Saddha, you have Virya, which is the third enlightenment factor. So this Virya that drives you to develop the cultivation of Sati or mindfulness is very important, or what we call awareness-based meditation. So once the Virya is there, it will keep you going. We have that spiritual zeal, spiritual tenacity to cultivate, born of right understanding. You see the importance of this teaching. You see the importance of this cultivation. That's why you will go all out to do it. Because nothing else is more important than having this understanding, developing this cultivation. Where the rest are secondary. Of course, you need to work, you have a family, you need to do your duties, all those things. But apart from all this basic necessity of life, you need to work on the Dhamma aspect. The wisdom that is needed to understand life and to set your life in the straight course once and for all, so that you will not fall again. That one is more important. That's why from Virya, you will develop the cultivation of Sati. Then when Sati stabilizes, it will give rise to Piti. Piti is an enlightenment factor. It's a spiritual joy, spiritual, what they call peacefulness of mind, spiritual calmness. The initial calmness means when you have this piti, there is basically no thought, but there is this joy inside. Yeah. And it's an enlightenment factor. Because without this, you will not like the cultivation. But with this, you will like the cultivation. Then from there, when piti arises, it will stabilize it. It will continue to become more refined, more stable, until you experience sukhang. Sukhang is not an enlightenment factor. Sukhang is what they call spiritual blissfulness of mind. Your mind can become really blissful. From pity, it can develop into bliss. That sukhang is really true. You feel so blissful. I remember in the early years of my cultivation, when I was in the university at that time, after I went there the first year, I developed it. And the sukhang was so intense. It's really blissful. Yeah. Until you cannot describe it, but the bliss is so intense. And most cultivators of the way will like that mind state. Because when you really know how to relax and maintain awareness, that piti really become very blissful. Yeah. Then you continue to relax into it. But most people fail to understand that is they attach to it and want it repeated. That's where they get themselves stagnated. Yeah. Or what we call stuck at the defilement of insight. they are progressing actually, but because they attach, then they get stuck. But if you do not develop that, what they call craving for that state, then what happens is you should continue to relax into it, maintain awareness, until the mind settle down, and become very quiet and very still. That is what we meant by the fifth enlightenment factor. And then the fifth enlightenment factor, which is paucity, which is tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the true mind. You can realize that if you do awareness-based meditation, if you do the jhanas, the five jhanic factor, then you will end up attaching to sukhang. Then after that, it will bring you direct to ekagata, one-pointedness of mind. That's why they will miss the enlightenment factor. You must relax. The key word is relax. Do not build it up. Do not increase the energy, the thought energy. Relax and let it dissolve. Whatever mind state that arises, relax into it. Always remember the word, relax into it, and let it return to its original state before the stirring. That is your true mind. Before the building up of all this energy, concentration, you know. That's why concentration is not the way. Concentration is a deviation. What you need is samadhi, which is the unwavering mind, collected mind, which is a free mind in the state of relaxed inner awareness without any activity or movement, no thought, nothing. It's a free mind without thought. Without thought, that is sati, that is your awareness nature. So realize that. So the fifth one should not be renunciation. It should be paucity. The Pali word is paucity, tranquility of mind, stillness of mind. Then when you continue to stabilize paucity, it will have that collectedness ability. Then it will be in the state of unwavering at the moment of sense experience. Whatever that imprint upon your sense basis, upon contact, because you have samadhi, that it will be unwavering, collected, that it can stay and see things as they are, means it will not stir, it will not react, it will not be like normal mind that can easily stir and react to sense experience, like your busong, like and dislike and all those things. Samadhi, once established, it will not move. It will stay there. But that samadhi is not born of wisdom. Initially, it's not born of wisdom. That's why you can develop that samadhi first. Then as you have that samadhi, you will have more and more moment of peace, or what they call tranquility or stillness, without the mind stirring and reacting. Means you develop more and more space between thought. Then as all this samadhi is stabilized, then you hardly think, you hardly have any thought movement or activity. Then from there, you can develop the direct seeing. You can see things as they are. You can insight into phenomena. You can awaken to the three universal characteristics of anicchang, dukkang, anatta. And because of that, wisdom, panya, can arise. And when wisdom or panya arise, then only the last factor of enlightenment, which is upekkha, will arise. This upekkha is, sometimes they translate it as equanimity of mind. Go back to the notes. So this equanimity of mind It's not mentioned here also. Oh, yo, they all really, the English translation is really. Yeah. There, the seventh one. You want to pin this? Pin this. Currently pin. They're very easy to understand. Sattabhujanga, seven factor minor. Keep on arising when progressing along the path of cultivation. This is a good check. So if you do all your cultivation, then you don't see all these seven factors of enlightenment, means something wrong. Because these are factors of enlightenment, it should keep on arising. If as you cultivate, instead of all this, you have fantastic meditation, you have psychic ability, what for? Because they cannot liberate your mind. They are not conducive towards enlightenment, towards the cessation of form and mind. But these are real enlightenment factors. You must have them. That's why towards the ninth step of Abhijja Sutta, you realize? Seven factors of enlightenment, they keep on arising. After you cultivate the Satipatthana Sutta, the four foundation of mindfulness, the seven factor of enlightenment keep on arising. Then it will accumulate into the enlightenment in the here and the now. But these are enlightenment factors. So here very clear. Yeah? In Mandarin is called what? Seven factors of enlightenment. Qi is about. Qi, jue, zi. Okay. At least the Mandarin word is there. So I think last time Ingby helped in to put in the Mandarin translation, which is very good. For the mind map with Sui together. That's why this one can help a lot of people. Those who know Mandarin. Correct. They translate exactly as what I explained. The seven factor of enlightenment will keep on arising when progress along the path of cultivation, and this can become a very good check. So the first factor of enlightenment is sati, means mindfulness or awareness, a type of attentiveness, pure awareness before the arising of thought or knowing. Then the Mandarin you read yourself, then Dhamma investigation, then Virya spiritual zeal, which I have gone through, then it will actually lead you, drive you to cultivate until sati stabilize. Then when there is sati, there is no thought, you will realize piti. Piti is an enlightenment factor, spiritual calmness, spiritual peacefulness of mind. Then from there you continue to relax, maintain inner awareness to stabilize it until it becomes very quiet, very still, until the mind enters sati. That is to realize your true mind. When mind enters sati, means that is your true mind. That tranquility of mind or stillness of mind is your pure awareness nature. So that is the one that can meditate, that can awaken. But you need stability. That's why the sixth factor of enlightenment is when you stabilize that capacity through some form of understanding and cultivation, then that mind becomes unwavering, collected. Then it starts to see things as they are. It starts to insight into phenomena. It starts to develop the silent inner awareness to observe, to understand who are you, what are you, and how you stir your mind and get yourself entangled via wrong view, via lack of understanding. Then how wrong thought arise. And you also understand what constitutes wrong thought, deviant thought. So all this is what factors of enlightenment are, and it can lead to understanding. So when samadhi stabilizes, it becomes collected and unwavering, but it is a free mind. That's why I put there, stabilized mindfulness, which is collected and unwavering, which is silent, relaxed, inner awareness, born of a free mind. So, when you can see things as they are, you develop the wisdom. Then the wisdom will enhance the equanimity. Because when the wisdom develops, upeka become possible, equanimity of mind become possible. Because that samadhi alone, without wisdom, cannot root out all the defilement. It can maybe help you to remain peaceful, calm, tranquil. But without that wisdom, you cannot develop upeka all the time, equanimity of mind all the time. You need the wisdom. That's why the last of the seven factors of enlightenment is upeka. Then the note is also very important. These seven factors of enlightenment will arise or will keep on arising when one cultivates the four foundations of mindfulness correctly with understanding. Please refer to Avijja Sutta, step 8 and 9 in the Heart Sutta, appendix 8, which is very clearly mentioned in the Heart Sutta, second edition. So this step 8 is cultivating the four foundations of mindfulness. Then it moves on to step 9, which is the arising of the seven factors of enlightenment. Okay, we finish that part. We see the notes. We see what Shenhua. In some source, this item is factor of enlightenment of lightness and ease. In some source, this factor of enlightenment of equanimity. Okay, so the order all wrong. Renunciation, the word also wrong. Well, that one is, you bring down way a bit. I think this one is very bad. Really bad. The order completely wrong. Never mind, I read the English. The path stands for the Noble Eightfold Path, consisting of right view, right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood, right effort, right mindfulness, and right samadhi, not concentration. These were explained previously, so it was suffice to just list them as a review. Then Dayan, this one is not important. They refer to the Si Chan Pa Ting, the four type of form jhana and four type of formless jhana. So here he said Dayan refers to the four Dayan of the form rhyme. First Dayan, second Dayan, third Dayan, and fourth Dayan, you mean jhanas. There are three heavens in each of the first, second, and third jhanas, and nine heavens in the fourth jhanas. All the gods of the four Dayan heaven cultivate Dayan or jhanas. He referring to the Brahma realm. Beings in the human realm can also attain the state of the four type of form jhana and four type of formless jhana by cultivating meditative concentration. Here he used the word concentration. Then Shenhua say he explained the four Dayan before when lecturing on the Atstore Bodhisattva Sutta. But I feel the audience is still not very clear about them yet, so I will explain them again today. Okay, we see what Shenhua explained. Those who realize the state of the first jhana have merely attained a meditative state, they have not become gods of the heavens of the first jhana. They call it Dhyana, but it's jhana. For example, if we have realized the state of the first jhana through cultivating meditative concentration, as soon as we sit in meditation, we can enter the state of the first jhana, heaven called the ground of joy and bliss, of abandoning affliction. We leave affliction behind and experience joy and bliss, then surpass any worldly happiness. Why are those in the first dhyan free of affliction? It is because they experience a kind of happiness. This dhyan bliss becomes their nourishment. Here the explanation is not so correct or so clear. Yes, in the Theravada tradition, they explain the jhanas differently. Yeah. But more or less pointing towards that direction, because they believe when you are in jhana, you can suppress the five, what they call the mental hindrance. The mental hindrance cannot arise. That's why they say they are free from their effect. Means they cannot condition you into suffering or misery because you are in the state of the jhanic factor. So the first jhana is when you're able to apply your thought on a meditation object or on a one-pointedness area, object of meditation, mainly is object of meditation, then you sustain your thought there. Means thought-based. Applied thought, sustained thought. Then you build it up until there is no thought. Then when there is no thought, after a while, pity will arise. When there is no thought, pity will arise. And sometimes in between, before pity arises, you can see nimitta. Nimitta. Normally, nimitta are what they call light vision that you can see when you are quite calm and peaceful. So nimitta will arise. Then at the same time, you feel good. Pity means spiritual calmness, spiritual what they call joy. They call it a type of joy that manifests. So when you are in this state, you will not experience suffering. That's why you like that state, pity. Then when you continue to develop it, you become more refined. Then you experience sukhang, which is blissfulness of mind. So when you are in that state, they say this mental hindrance are not there. That's why you are in a state that is beyond the mental hindrance. It's not beyond. You are not rooted out. That's why I say these are conditioned state of mind. It's not a free mind. And because they are conditioned state, it suppresses or prevent the mental hindrance from arising. So there is no way you can test yourself to know whether you have developed the wisdom to root out the mental hindrance or not. Because when this energy, or what we call concentration mind, that you develop through all this practice, thought-based approach, they will disappear or become less effective if you neglect your practice. Then as you grow old, your vitality not there, your energy not there. You cannot maintain that type of practice. Because these are all thought-based, energy-based. Very strong. It drains a lot of your thought energy. Yeah. And thought energy is basically life force energy. Yeah. Of course, it can help you develop psychic and special ability. Yeah. But when you look back on the purpose and intent of meditation, is to develop the wisdom, not all these things which will still bound you in birth and death, samsara. You cannot liberate your mind, so no point. So coming back to the notes, I have to end already. We are 9:55 already. Okay, so I just finish out with here. Those attain the first jhana, they have never experienced such physical comfort before. They feel at ease and serene all day long. Yeah. Even the pleasure of sexual activity is nothing compared to this feeling or sensation. This happiness makes them feel that everything else is quite commonplace. That's why this state is called the ground of joy and bliss of abandoning affliction. But that state of sukhang, the blissfulness, in fact, a lot of monks also explained it before. He said, when you are in that state, the sexual excitement is nothing compared to that. So that is how they declare. That's why Shen Hua also explained it. He said, even the pleasure of sexual activity is nothing compared to that feeling, that sukhang. So this happiness makes them feel that everything else is quite commonplace. That's why this state is called the ground of joy and bliss. So this is their explanation. Okay, we stop here. Second session is more about meditation reporting, followed by whatever question you may have.
Good evening, Brother Stu, Mr. Stu, and all Karamita. Actually, Brother Stu, maybe 我分享一下我最近的一个 encounter.
好，嗯，事情是这样，
因为我的 maid 刚刚来 ，OK。
哦 ，OK。
So, there was one day 哦。我就那天我有剩的东西，我以为他会收起来。然后我就问他，第二天我说我要炒米粉，我要拿那个 fish cake 出来，他就跟我讲他丢了 ，OK 。
<Yeah.
laughs> Then after that, you know, 我的心就想，mate 是新的，我不要冤枉他。
Yeah.
你知道我 go to the extent 我去敲那个垃圾出来，because 我真的不想冤枉人。然后我敲了没有哦，没有之后呢？然后我就想，哎呀，不用紧，我们大家静静，不要讲任何东西。
Yeah.
因为人与人之间是靠一个感觉，
对对对，
不要以为他不会听，但是摆我们的讲话，他也是会感觉出来。所以我就讲，不要再讲了，这件事情就来翻过去，不要讲。但是当我在做我的 pick ginger， 我在切我的 ginger 的时候，它里面升起一个慈悲心，去理解到这个事情可能在某一个情形之下，他这样子说有他的苦衷或者有什么，
对对对，
就是那个慈悲心一上来吼，他就整个就跌下去了，那个整个念头就没有了。
Yeah,
就我的心里面就感觉哇，这么的轻哦，是like你 liberate 了你自己 in between that， you know， so 这个我觉得是虽然是一点点，但是哦。就给我的感觉是哇
yeah, it's a very good understanding.
Yeah, it's like 你会 liberate 你自己 in the sense that 你不要抓住这个一个小小的东西这样子，但是它就是 like 出于你里面的一个 understanding， 讲不会说 like 你特地去啊怎么样想怎么样想，然后过后后来我们就去我的媳妇就去 investigate 这个东西，原来它是。有一点点不明白我在问什么，然后大家就 you know 就把这个事情讲清楚了之后，大家也很开心，所以我感觉到哇，原来我们怎么样的去 deal with 这个一点小小的事情啊
，life situation or misunderstanding，
所以我感觉到是可以。
You need a lot of understanding to resolve problem in life, because.I realize human beings, especially those without the Dhamma, they actually get themselves entangled more and more. Because recently also there were an incident where I heard my daughter mentioning about my sister's side. They actually, with a lot of joy, wanted to renovate their house.So they got a contractor. But then, they got four brothers and sisters and one mother, which is my sister. Too many opinions, too many views. And everybody wants the thing they feel. that should be the deciding factor for the renovation and all things. So end up, I was told basically from one of the cousins. They were like full of misunderstanding and busong, a lot of busong. until, because luckily the nephew is staying with me, one of them, and he's very understanding, so he don't want to get involved. But the way I look at it is, living being doesn't understand the meaning of living life in harmony, peacefully, coexisting with understanding. What you need to do is to resolve problems. So resolving problem is the most important thing. It's not about right or wrong. It's not about whose idea is better. If you don't resolve, sure, out of so many, four brothers, sister, one mother, sure, if you follow one of them, the other four sure will someone, because that is life. But why can't you understand that you are here as a family unit to develop the harmony and understanding through consensus, give and take? Then don't be so picky. Don't be so like tenaciously trying to be right or vocal. But that is not the way to live life, to resolve issue and problem. The way to resolve it is to have understanding. To ask yourself, are we solving problem or are we arguing over problem and creating more misunderstanding and conflict? Because when you don't focus on resolving issue with the contractor, you will end up arguing among yourself and blame the contractor. Understand? Then they contemplate one or two of the sister, and even my sister also, suggested that change contractor. You go and change her. I tell you, you'll get into bigger problem. It's not so easy. Construction is not what you think. You have to really navigate all this. Like just now, Alicia's example was very good. You see, it's a miscommunication, understand? But when you can accept them for what they are, then resolve it means what? Find out exactly. That's why I say the daughter-in-law, yeah? Try to investigate and find out what actually happened. Then they realize it's a miscommunication. Small thing, understand? Why you want to be right, understand? Why you want to be like so abstinent about your views, your opinion? Then if Alicia want to do that, she is the head of the family, she lagi garang, or she want, but no point, understand? Yeah, it's a new mate. So that understanding is very important. Even if he make mistake also, that is the way she is, or that's the way things are. So resolve it. Finish off with it. Then don't hold on to it. Don't go and think. Don't go and like have the idea. How can the mate throw away my thing and all those things? Because the miscommunication is, he doesn't know what Alicia referred to. So he sudah buang. But actually that thing is something else. Because that is a very common problem, when new mates, they actually cannot understand your communication because they are new to your language and your way of communicating. Last time also same when my wife have the new mate. I realized they cannot understand, but they scared out of fear. Everything also, yes ma'am, yes ma'am, yes ma'am. But actually inside, they're not sure, that's all. So they do based on what? Then they are alien now, in the sense that they are new to our place, our culture. So you must have this understanding to make them feel confident, good. And guide them, train them, and actually give them the confidence, or what they call prevent them from living in unnecessary fear. Then be sensitive. Means try to understand what is going on within their mind. Because when they are new, when they are not settled down, a lot of wild thinking or thought can take place up there. So you need to really, really communicate. Communication is very important. Resolve problem, resolve issue. Small matter, not important. Just say, never mind, it's okay. Like last time I remember my wife that time. Sometimes she breaks certain things. She very scared we know it. They may think you will ask them to pay for it. But when we just tell them, don't worry, because sometimes my wife saw broken already. And then I also saw, I said, never mind, it's okay. Just clean it up, per se, and clear. They're very happy. Then anything, they don't hide from you anymore. That's all. Then they will come and tell you, oh, madam, ini sudah pecah, or sudah whatever. So when you have that type of understanding and line of communication, you can solve issue in a very much more favorable way. And what is important is 解决问题, the Mandarin word is, the focus should be on resolving issue and problem, not arguing, not blaming, not scolding. It will happen already. Even if it's very expensive or what can you do? Unless you warn them, explain to them, and if they keep on making this type of mistake, then you may have to reprimand them or take some action. But apart from that, if it's not something that is really pricey or what, just let things be, happen already, mishappen already, maybe meant to be, then if you take care of all this, then your life will be taken care of. In future, people will not blame you, people will not scold you, people will not do all these things to you. So when we talk about cultivation, a big aspect is to apply this understanding towards life. That's why it must be a living Dhamma, not a knowledge rigid Dhamma that cannot solve problem. And the main focus is on applying Noble Eightfold Path. That's why Alicia's approach is very good. Then when he has the understanding to just drop the issue, because it's not really something that matter, even though he may have the thought at that time, he wants to still cook with that thing. But then the maid say he already threw it away. Then when she contemplated, then when that thing gone, because she is mindful, she realized it's like peaceful, no longer caring. That's enough. When people carry in their thought, that is the most dangerous. It's like the sister, my sister's children. When you carry your views in your thought and not focusing on resolving problem, issue, then you will have problem. To resolve issue is very simple. Understand? Consensus. Like when I renovate my house, I told my children very simple. Your room, you decide what you want. Understand? I can afford. You just tell me what you want. Then my son's room, he decide. Then my room, I let my wife decide. We are household thing, understand? Then the general thing, I just consult my son. I say, well, in future we are going to stay in this house. Before I buy the neighbor, I already talked to my son. You don't mind. I buy the neighbor. Then we make this house into something very different. We have two houses. Understand? Everything is double. Understand? Our living room, our kitchen also two, everything also two. I said, we can make this house into something very different, very special. Because I told my son, I said, if you willing to stay, then he can buy. Then this can be our common area, Nasana. You can invite your friend, I can invite my friend. Then when they come, we have big space, Nasana. Then kitchen, we will retain too, because I say, when you married, your wife will want to cook your own. So we have the two kitchen maintained, but this one is a common facility, Nasana. Then of course, when I'm around, I will use it for my activity. Yeah. But after that, you are free to renovate, do what you want. And he straight away tell me, no problem. Fine. That's why he got no problem. He asked me, our renovation, no problem. I decide most of the thing, except their room. They decide. And they even tell me what they want. Then I ask the contractor. They come out with their scan. Then they check. Okay. Then everything resolved. Their house only one half of what, maybe less than half of what my house is. So much problem. Unnecessary misunderstanding that lead to all this. That's why I also don't want to say anything. Because I know they dare not come and talk to me, because they talk to me, sure, I won't say bamboo, huh? I will just tell them straight in the face. Is this the way to live life? Is this the way to go about doing things? Already explained to you, 解决问题, solve problem, resolve issue. Through what? Through consensus, through understanding. Don't impose your views. Don't try to be right, understand? Don't try to be very vocal about things. Your room, you decide. Common one? Because, like we know about construction, even Chen, even Ho, you want good thing, prepare to pay. If you are not prepared to pay, you want to complain here and there, then you end up what? All the half-baked one. Because you yourself are not in this line, you are not a professional, and you cannot understand. When you cannot understand, you try to make all this type of, to me, is stupid decision. Because what you want is against the other family members, no? And it leads to what? That's why end up, some of them say, well, no. You want or not, you pay. Then end up, the other one of the sister, he said, nothing to do with me, I don't want to pay. Suppose to share, well, no. End up like that. How come it end up like that? Because lack of understanding. Lack of clear mind to resolve problem and issue. To resolve problem and issue, 解决问题 is more important than arguing about problem and issue. The key word is resolving and arguing. Fighting over, developing all the unnecessary misunderstanding, conflict. Then there is a Chinese saying, when the argument end up talking about money, relationship also gone. Kong lui sip kam cheng. When you talk about money, all your so-called kam cheng in English is called what? Kan cheng. English is what? Not relationship. It's a positive type of relationship, no? Kanqing, no? Like you and your loved one, you kanqing de, is ma? Naga kanqing bu jian qi, understand? So, actually to me is delusion, stupidity. Why you want to do this? End of the day, can you take that thing away? And that so-called nicer town or what, any different or not? To me is, you have the money already, then it's different. Then you have the means. And then you decide, you buy your own unit and all that. While you are sharing, you want to talk about all this. To me is creating unnecessary misunderstanding and problem. And these are small issues, can be resolved easily, you understand? So hopefully, Kayamita learn, yeah, then end up you look at life, you really pity them. Yeah. Like when you understand, right? Sometimes my wife also told me, you look at the world, a lot of suffering people, and they have so much problem. Then even when we go to the mall, we saw the escalator with the glass at the side, where we can see all the moving parts all inside there. And you know, the first thought that came to me, you know, the people who do the maintenance will find it easier. We can see clearly, you know, then no need to guess what is inside and how the problem. Then they can resolve it easily. But what is important is I saw deeper, you know. I saw these people who do the maintenance of escalator. Throughout their life, their job is what? Just look at this, you know. And your aircon maintenance, well, tomorrow my aircon guy coming. I saw them whole day. Well, their job is that. Clean this type of aircon. Although, to me, the money I pay is not much. But maybe to them, it's livelihood, it's good money. But a lot of dirty work, the dust and all those things, then the chemical washing. And this is their routine, no. You don't cherish your good karma for your good life when you have a career that is so relaxed. Like I used to tell Sui, last time my career as a civil engineer, if I got no meeting, I can go anywhere I like. Or no. I can go for tea or whatever, or longer break. You know. That one separate. So all this, I look back, wow, compared to these people, then yes, I have a haircut. Although the price keep on going up. In the early day of 15 ringgit, then 18, 20, 25. Then today I went. He said, Uncle, sorry. He said, now our price 30 ringgit. I said, okay. It's a good bubble. So you look at it. Don't look at it from the money and complain. I look at it. I just laugh. Then I came back, I share with my wife. I said, the pride. You know why? Circumstances force them. But they can't survive. Rental is high. Then you think easy money. Although 10 minutes to cut one hair, 30 ringgit. So how's the hair? Oh, okay. I like it. He's so refined in his professional way of trimming, you know. Then I tell myself, next time I count 35 or so, I let him cut. Because he doesn't hurt me. That thing is so skillful. He do until very nice. And I feel good. Then he said, Uncle, I think okay already. I said, don't worry. I said, you did a very good job. That's why when you have understanding, you not only don't have negativity of mind state, no, but you pity them, no. You think easier. Throughout the day sitting there, no, waiting for people to come and haircut. And these are the routine they do. No. That's why you can retire early, I tell you. It's a blessing to do what you like to do in life. That's why I tell Sui also. And she retired earlier than me. Like 47. 46 plus, he 40. But my son miserable. He said he want to retire, he cannot retire, he got a newborn baby. But don't worry. These are for us to understand the intricacy of life. That's why when you know how to appreciate life, reflect, then you will not think your own way. You will not like blame people. But that is the way things are. The world is the world. People are just the way they are. Conditioned like that, things will. But you don't get yourself entangled into that delusion. That's all not. And end up no different from them. Then to me, don't go and claim that you are Brother Teoskaya. Otherwise, you wasted all your time coming here and not learning the correct understanding to understand life. You should be Like most Kayamita, having a lot of joy, a lot of happiness, a lot of understanding, and a lot of them are full of contentment, joy, understand? That they finally learn this teaching. That's why they have good life. They become so different. Otherwise, they would have still no different from a lot of people. Bosong, a lot of bosong. So, this sharing by Alicia is good. Now return to Alicia.
Brad Joe，还有五分钟。可以啊，七分钟啊。Brad Joe，maybe我就是最近的一点点的encounter，也是令我感觉到很惊喜的，就是早上我起来的时候，这整个星期我感觉到很多的那个release，好像那种。 Sankara 在 release 一直很多很多，但是我就不管它，它来就来，我就一直这样子躺着。Then after that， 它就慢慢 transform 到 after that 就好像比方说今天我起来哦，我感觉到怎么我头脑一片空白。为什么我没有 memory？ 我今天的工到底我要做什么？对，好像。 你就是recall不到东西出来，这样子。好像你的
brain 那边空了，空了。Actually 是空的。Then later on your heart there also 空的。Because your heart here, I tell you when you bosong, a lot of this thing inside, inside running around one. You know what is that movement or not? Especially you feel so bad, like you want to get a heart attack already. It's so bad, you know, like a lot of uncomfortableness inside there, you know. And that is what that asavang is, you know. You know what asavang is, you know? Very latent type of defilement, you know. But the wrong thought, they keep on, wow. Then when you have the Dhamma understanding and wisdom, you just stay with it, be with it, and let it settle down. Then that sudden shift, when it returns to its original state of the true mind, which is tranquility and stillness before the stirring, you suddenly feel like empty inside, you know, 空白, nothing inside, you know, so still, you know, so peaceful, that clarity, that stillness, that tranquility, that joy inside, that, then you will never go back to the old way. You think also like that, don't think also like that. Why are you going to hold? Well, you are not focusing on developing the wisdom to free your mind, to resolve your problem. You keep on holding on to your problem, and you want to be right. And you keep on developing that movement without you knowing. That's why for those who are sensitive with mindfulness and awareness and the Dhamma, they cannot go back to the old way, but they are so sensitive, you know. The slightest one, they will sense it one. Like her stage is, when this Sankara comes, he will know it. Then he will let it be. What is Sankara? Sankara anicang. Understand? Then Sankara, you hold and give meaning, dukkang. It's so clear. Whatever that is impermanent, you entangle with it, you will suffer. Where you want things your way, which is not nature's way. Then from there, you understand. That's a sabbe dhamma anatta, anateto. Anatta means everything is non-self, not a permanent unchanging entity, not what you think. Zu mong huan pao ying, dreamlike, illusionary, not what you think. Be thought based. Mahi meka de. They are just images with its content inside, telling you story, understand? And no reality at all. Who are you? What are you? If you yourself is not what you are, then how can other living beings be what they are? Understand? No reality. It's just form and mind, arising and passing away, creating all the knowledge, the memory, the reaction, the views, the opinion, the conditioning, all these are the manifestation of the mundane thinking process, the emotion born of your wrong thought, your stirring of your mind, your reaction. Who react? Who was wrong? It's the thought and the sana, nothing to do with you. And you have a physical body which is so beautiful, you don't know how to relax and develop the tranquility and the peace within, to sleep well, to eat well, to be happy. Yeah. And not to get yourself entangled again. So this is very good. Alicia, sadhu.
Brother, 这个令我reflect 回以前我们一起来就 full of sankara, oh, I got to do this, I got to do that, 哇，很多，就是让我感觉，哎。 真的很不一样，它就是很静，就是很quiet，就你真的不会回去那以前那个way了。
Because mindfulness is like that one. When you are mindful and aware, that understanding awaken you one. It is like black and white so clear. You will never go back to that filthy, deluded way of living life. But that one is full of heedless living one. Very hot one. A lot of suffering and misery. And the whole mind is totally entangled. Pasi kata, they say. Pajie. So all this is very good. Sadhu.
Yeah, brother, 最后我要感恩佛菩萨的家.
Yeah.
很多的感恩，也说不尽的感恩，
yeah.
所以我要发愿报师重恩，佛菩萨恩，老师的恩，父母的恩，还有众生的恩，阿弥陀佛。
Very good, rejoice. Okay, now we share merits. Transfer merit, then we end. Akka satta cya bumata devanaga mahindika Punyang tang anumoditwa Jirang rakantu loka sasana Itta watta camehi sampadan punya sampadan Sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati sidiya Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo Devo asatukalena sasa sampati hetuja Vito bawatu lokoja Raja bawatu dhammiko Imina punyang kamina Mame bala samagamo, satang samagamo hotu, yawa nivana patiya, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, you all can now pay respect to Lord Buddha, Kuan Bodhisattva and all the worthy ones. Then we end, sadhu.